Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sonic Shuffle, a random and holistic Sonic lore podcast. I'm one of the students, Mark.
I'm the other student, Devin.
And I'm the teacher, Dan. We got another game to talk about, and it's a big one. It's Sonic 2. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for the Sega Genesis, aka Mega Drive.
Sonic 2!
Sonic 2!
Yeah. Also, just want to give a quick mention of a recent bit of Sonic news. In fact, Sonic news that happened earlier today. It's nothing big, but Puyo Puyo Tetris 2 has added Sonic the Hedgehog as a playable character.
Oh.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. It's in a free update, along with two other characters who, as I understand it, have not really been playable in a Puyo game for quite some time. I played a little bit of Puyo Puyo Tetris 2 with Sonic, and it's neat. I need to get good at that sort of weird competitive puzzle game. But it's solid. He says the Sonic things. Also, you can customize your icon with various Sonic characters.
I do the Sonic things. I don't pay the taxes. Oh.
My real question is, when are they going to add Dr. Robotnik in reference to classic Sega Genesis title, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, which was just, I believe, one of the Puyo Puyo games, but reskinned with Sonic characters to be appealing to Westerners.
Ooh. I feel like they did that. It was one of the Mario games they, like, reskinned it.
Oh, yeah, Mario. For the Nintendo consoles, they reskinned it with, Kirby.
Oh, I was thinking of a different game, but I actually did hear about that.
You're also probably thinking about, Panel de Pon, aka Tetris Attack, which, for the SNES, was reskinned to, like, be starring Yoshi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, getting into Sonic 2, I'm going to start by talking a bit about the development, which I found out about thanks to Sonic Retro, and wow, there is a lot going on with this. I know that Sonic 2 is kind of famous for, like, its cut content.
Ooh,
it was, like, really famous in, like, at least in, like, really online, like, circles dedicated to, like, finding weird, obscure stuff, because a lot got cut from it. Our story begins shortly after the success of Sonic 1 for the Sega Genesis. Yuji Naka, who was responsible for the engine of the first game, very famous person involved with Sonic, was going to, like, leave Sega. But then, Mark Cerny, who nowadays is famous for things such as Spyro, Crash Bandicoot, Ratchet and Clank, Jak and Daxter, and Knack, was able to, like, convince him to work with him in the, like, Sega Technical Institute, in, like, America. So, like, a big thing about, like, this game is, like, it was developed in America with a mix of, like, Japanese and American developers. This included, Craig Stitt, who is famous for creating Spyro. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Spyro, I feel like, has a lot of, similar, like,
yeah,
Ideas to Sonic? That's not the right word. Aesthetics to Sonic?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that, like, cartoony design element. Like, I don't know if that's, like, the right word for it, but, like, just, like, the energy I get from Spyro feels
like... Well, it's also, like, the attitude thing. At least, like older Spyro. Yeah. I actually didn't play much of the older Spyro games. I played more, like, the GameCube game. They're not remakes. Retellings? Whatever. But, like, from what I gathered from the older games, he was kind of... I wouldn't be surprised if Spyro said something, like, way past cool.
Yeah. I think...
Yeah, just, like, quippy, like, cool teen.
There's, like, scenes of him wearing sunglasses and stuff. He's a rude teen. Well, he's not... He's a little rude, but he's generally nice. But, like, there's...
Teens with Tood.
Yeah, one of the things they, like, really wanted to, like, do was, like, introduce another major character. And in fact, there was, like, there was an internal contest to figure out who could design the new character that would hang out with Sonic. In fact, Craig Stitt designed one named Boomer, who was, like, a turtle with, like, a rocket pack.
Oh, that sounds sick as hell.
Like, the Boomer from, like, the comics or whatever.
Yeah. Incidentally, this does sound a lot like a character I could see in a Spyro game.
True.
Yasushi Yamaguchi was able to design a two-tailed fox. His name is Miles Prower, but they decided to simplify it to Tails, since that fit better with, like, saying Sonic and Tails. In the end, the lore from going forward is, like, his real name is Miles Prower, but everyone calls him Tails. I believe we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had some big plans, but they only had so much time. And this was made slightly worse by the fact that at first Sega said, no, it's too soon to do a sequel, wait a little longer. And then 2 months later, basically said, oh, wait, actually, we need a sequel, and we need it at this time.
What the fuck? Time crunch in the 90s, baby.
Oh, yeah, like...
Video game studio got a video game studio.
Yeah, like, this whole Sonic Retro article on the history, like, points out that there was, like, a sort of, like, divide between, like, Japanese and American programmers, since Japanese were more, like, crunch-focused than American developers at the time.
Well, now...
Now it's everyone!
Now it's everyone, and it's...
Everyone, everywhere, forever.
And that's how we get great video games like Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, so, like, they were originally going to make, like, 18 zones. Like, all these, like, different ideas that were bounced around. Like, some of, like, these prototype names include, Sand Shower Zone, Rock World Zone, and, Genocide City Zone.
Oh.
Oh my god. Excuse me?
Assume this would have eventually become Metropolis or something.
Yeah, but... I mean, I was like, maybe it was just a weird translation, but boy.
Yeah.
That's a very specific name.
Yeah, it's quite a name.
Sonic the Hedgehog, Genocide Run.
Sonic the Hedgehog is brought to trial for his war crimes. Any percent run.
And of course, like, one of the most famous, like, cut levels was, like, the Hidden Palace Zone, which would actually later be used in Sonic 3. There's, like, there were, like, quite a few art assets already made that are, I believe, still on the carts or something. But, like, and hell, even a couple years back, well, probably more than a couple now, but, the mobile port that was designed by, like, the guys who would go on to make Sonic Mania actually included, like, the Hidden Palace Zone as, like, a hidden stage. Interesting. Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, also with the release, like, in the United States and Europe, they came out on the same day, and it was, like, promoted as Sonic Tuesday. But
I'm surprised they did that, because I feel like they didn't start doing that until, like, games had, like, digital releases. Like, now games do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sonic is always ahead of the curve.
But also, like, yeah, advertising in this era was fucking wild. Like, of course, like, Sega's the most famous for, like, their blast processing ads where they, like, talked about how Genesis did what Nintendo don't. There's also, and Nintendo in kind would respond with, what was it called? Play It Loud. Where they started making, like, really weird ads, and, like, a lot of these ads were, like, meant to make all the characters look super cool and funny and badass. like, to give an example, like, multiple ads were based around talking about how cool Kirby was.
Damn, it's true, though.
Well, Kirby is cool.
Yeah. There's, like, there was this Kirby commercial that was, yeah.
Future plan.
God, I would love to talk about, Kirby. I need a Kirby lore expert. I am only a Sonic lore expert.
I will get to doing some grade A Kirby research, and I will bring out all the facts. This will be my mission for 2021. New Year's resolution.
I, like, legitimately love Kirby's lore, so.
Yeah. Like, one of the ads for, like, a Kirby game, probably, like, Superstar or something, was, or maybe Dreamland 3, was, like, there's this biker who's, like, giving, like, a flowery poem, and then Kirby, like, at, like, a biker bar, and, like, Kirby's just, like, fighting all the bikers at this bar.
Was this an American commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like American Kirby always looks like way more hardcore, so that fits.
Yeah.
Just because the eyebrows.
Actually, I want to look at, like, it's only been until, from, like, the entirety of the 2000s and, like, the front half of the 2010s, Kirby's always looking mad in his box art. Yeah. Actually, let me just make sure. Kirby. Yeah, yeah. Just wanted to check to make sure. Up until, like, Kirby tripled. I think Robobot is the first game. Hang on. I have to look down at that now.
What a good game.
Nope, he's still got the angry eyes.
Yeah, he does.
Kirby fucking mad.
What the fuck was that game? Star Allies, yeah. I think Star Allies is the first major Kirby game that was released in America where Kirby didn't have angry eyes on the box art.
Yeah. That's a Switch game, yeah. I haven't played that one, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, from, like, 2001 to 2018.
What a good run.
But anyways, we're back to Sonic. yeah, Sega advertising was weird. We'll get into it at some point, but, like, there's, like, God, now I just want to do, like, a watch party of, like, various ads from this era. Like, just the ads.
90s ads were wild.
We could do it in our Discord or something.
Yeah.
I'll think about it. yeah, so I'm going to pop open the thing again so I can get back to what I was originally talking about. So, with the soundtrack, they got, they brought back Masato Nakamura from Dreams Come True to work on the music again. And it's still a very, very good soundtrack. And most notably, it features the song Sweet, Sweet, Sweet from their album, I also popped this open, The Swinging Star from 1992.
When did they stop using that band?
I think it's after this one. I think it's these, just these first two. I don't know about... I don't think they had him on CD, and they definitely didn't have him on 3. That's got its own whole thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
That we'll have to discuss when the time comes. But for now, Sweet, Sweet, Sweet has also been an issue for Sega because they can't use it anymore because they don't have the copyright anymore.
Yeah, I remember you saying that in the last game episode. Yeah. That's kind of why I was wondering when they had to, like, stop.
Yeah. Yeah, I assume it would have stopped sometime in the 2000s. Just because, like, that's when it actually becomes, like, an issue for, like, ports and stuff. But after that, those are, like, that's, like, all the major things to mention about, like, the development and whatnot. So let's, discuss the story. I am once again very thankful for Sonic Retro because they included, like, this whole section on the, like, story that happens before the game starts. So I'm just gonna read this out. Sometime after stopping Dr. Eggman once again, Sonic the Hedgehog grows restless, deciding to do what he does best. Travel the world, looking for adventure, climbing into his trusty biplane, the red and white Tornado, the blue hedgehog begins flying the skies, looking for places unknown. On nothing more than an impulse, Sonic decides to land on an unassuming island called West Side Island. Deciding to kick back and explore the isle, Sonic is completely oblivious to the legend connected to the island, and the similarities it has in relation to his adventures on South Island. That's where Sonic 1 took place. According to legend, there was once a great and prosperous people who lived on its shores, who achieved their greatness through the use of mysterious, powerful stones. Their peace could have been everlasting, if not for a select few who desired to use the stones for their own selfish gain, causing the gods to take away the stones and hide them away on the island.
Sorry.
I think this is like a translation of whatever was in the manual for either the first game, for either the Japanese manual or just in the manual. I don't know.
So are the stones, they're not the Chaos Emeralds.
I think they are the Chaos Emeralds, because, But, like, a few days after landing, Sonic realized that he was being followed by someone.
Me!
Looking behind him. It's you. You're Sonic's new best friend.
Yay!
Hey!
We did it, Reddit.
Finally. That's what this whole podcast has been leading up to, is to become Sonic's best friend. Now, tell me about Tails.
Yeah. Looking behind him, Sonic spotted a young fox who immediately hid from the blue hedgehog when he looked his way. Not thinking much of it, Sonic ran off, and the fox once again following. The young fox's given name, Miles Prower, was overshadowed by his nickname, Tails.
That's weird.
Derived from the fact that he possessed not one, but two tails behind him.
Two of them!
Often being ridiculed by his peers, Tails' outlook on life changed immediately once he spotted Sonic running around his home, deciding that he had to follow and emulate his new hero, wanting to be just as cool and confident. No matter where Sonic would go, Miles would try and follow, Sonic eventually accepting the near-constant trailing of the young fox.
Okay, I know kids can be mean. I do love these, like, stories where someone's like, oh, I was born with, like, two tails and I can use them to fly, and everyone bullies me, and I'm just like, what did they bully you for? Flight? Do they sit there and be like, you can fly, you stupid idiot? You got two cool tails, you dummy? You want to use those cool two tails to fly away from our bullying?
Damn, you're so stupid. You can fucking fly. Wow.
Damn.
What a weirdo.
What are you going to do? Fly away and cry?
You're going to fly into that tree and cry about it?
You going to piss and fly? Like, what are you, you big baby?
Not long after.
Just like, who are these mean kids that are just like, damn, you can fly? That sucks shit. I hate you.
I feel like that would just make you the coolest kid.
That would make you so cool.
Tails,
you could go get like the kickball off the like top of the building when it gets kicked up there. Like, you'd be so cool in school.
Not long after, during a brief moment when Tails, quote, was exploring the beaches of Westside on his own, he came across the tornado, glittering in the sun. Spotting it in the distance, he became extremely excited, running as fast as he could towards it. Engrossed in its design, he wondered who the plane had belonged to. He didn't have to wait too long when, out of the corner of his eye, the fox spotted the distinct image of Sonic taking a nap under one of the wings. This newfound knowledge was not given much time in order to process. Tails, quote, mind when suddenly a loud explosion echoed through the air, shocking Sonic awake. Oh, okay, this takes a turn. Looking beyond the Emerald Hill Zone, a large pillar of fire could be seen, accompanied by a new yet familiar army of mechanical robots. It took only a second for Sonic to guess who had caused the explosion, cursing Eggman's name and running into the thick of it. Without hesitation, Miles Prower followed behind, knowing that he had to be right at Sonic's side. His laugh echoing in the wind, Eggman couldn't help but gloat over his newest plan, being grateful for having the foresight to follow Sonic to Westside Island. Learning of the legend of the island, Eggman came to the realization that the legendary stones talked, of course, could only be the Chaos Emeralds, the island being the true resting place of not only the six from before, but of a seventh as well. Once again,
oh, there was only
wanting
six
the...
I probably did yeah, know there... that, I just forgot.
Yeah, that's fair. Once again, wanting the emeralds for himself, Eggman plans on using them to power his latest creation, the Death Egg, a flying fortress orbiting the planet, with the potential of being his greatest weapon. With the desire to rule the world fueling the Mad Doctor, he prepares to once again engage with his greatest enemy, the one force that could possibly spoil his plans. And this is in quotes, "The stage is set. Now it's time for you to bring the curtain up to a close on this adventure once and for all.
No, I will never close this adventure.
I'm gonna play forever. Now it's time for you to kill Now it's time for you to kill Eggman.
Yeah.
Sonic has a Glock open. Now.
Yeah.
Sonic got a Glock.
Well, he will in about, let's see, this game came out in 92, so 13 years before he gets to have a Glock for real.
You know, I think he would be of age by then. He would be in his, like, what? He would be about 20-something. He could own a gun.
Yeah, so some gameplay stuff. Like, it's sort of built off of the last one, but it's... The levels are it's designed much more about moving fast than before. Like, for instance, the introduction of one of Sonic's iconic platforming abilities, the spin dash, which you press down, go into a ball, you press the jump button a bunch, and you start spinning ahead, you charge up a spin, and it just lets you go from 0 to 100 real quick. It can be, like, pressed multiple times to go faster. The levels have, like, all these, like, basically, there's more slopes, there's more, like, pinball-inspired aesthetics. It's very much designed to be a smoother travel. It's not super fast all the time, 100%, but you get more fast moments. Sort of trying to capture that, like, beat the first level super fast feeling you would get in the first stage, first game.
That's, like, more what I think of Sonic, is fast game.
Yeah. Also, following you around is Tails. Tails can fly. If you connect a second controller, a second player can, like, play as Tails to a limited extent. Like you can't, like, do much if you go off screen. You can't fly when you're playing as Tails. But it just... I guess it's handy in boss fights. This also adds, like, new special stages. This one features the half pipe design, which
I like how it looks sort better of like than the other special stage from the first game.
Oh, it's so much it looks so much cooler. It's sort of a staple for, like, the rest of the Sonic series. Like, I think until, like, oh. Like, pretty much every game, like, after, like, the classic games, if they wanted to do, like, special stages, they modeled it after, like, the half-pipe design. Basically, you run down a tube, a half-pipe tube, and there's rings everywhere, and you get to collect enough rings to progress through the stage. And if you manage to get through all of it, there's a Chaos Emerald at the end. About the Chaos Emerald. First off, there's now 7 of them. And second off, if you collect them all, you can turn into Super Sonic. Super Sonic, like, runs fat. If you collect 50 rings, you can turn into Super Sonic, and Super Sonic runs faster, jumps higher, is invincible, and is all around, like, speedier. The only problem with Super Sonic is that you're limited by your rings. Like, hang on. When you collect, after you turn into Super Sonic, your rings start, like, slowly counting down, and when you reach 0, you turn back to normal. leaving you not only normal, but without any rings to protect you.
Ooh. It doesn't even leave you with, like, one?
Mm.
Bummer.
No. Yeah. Like,
instant death.
However, you can collect more rings to add to your total, so, like, the whole thing with playing as Supersonic is you're just constantly hunting down rings to keep going.
What happens to Tails when you're Supersonic?
I don't know. I think Tails just sort of follows behind you. But I'll mention Super Forms for Tails when we get to the games that have them.
Oh, he does
it. Well, I think he just has the one, but we'll get to it. Like, it's also sort of a point of contention amongst, I guess, like, development in Sega games about, like, being able to turn super. Because, like, officially, the only characters who can go super are hedgehogs. And I guess, technically, one other character. But they're using, like, they're not using the Chaos Emerald, so it's different.
That's so goofy. Like, people want to see super thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do a super thing at all, it's just like, I don't know. It's not like, it's not like, oh, they're aliens super. Like, it's they're not actually going Super Saiyan and being Saiyans going Super Saiyan, you know? They're using the powers of the Chaos Emeralds. And I'm like, anyone can technically handle them, I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Eggman's gonna use him to make a big egg soon.
Yeah, what if there was, like, a super Eggman?
I'm thinking about a super Eggman now.
That would be incredible. He doesn't have a full head of blonde hair, it's just, like, the
mustache
top is still
just
bald.
Starts glowing.
Oh, that's so much better. Yeah, the mustache starts glowing. Exactly.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. But yeah, Supersonic is like a sort of like high level play thing because like getting all 7 Chaos Emeralds is extremely difficult. The stages get like progressively harder. It's even harder with Tails through. If you're like playing by yourself and you've got a Tails behind you, that it's extremely difficult because, like, throughout the stage are, like, bombs, and if you run into a bomb, you lose rings. If you lose too many rings, you basically lose the special stage. If you don't have enough rings by, like, a checkpoint, it ends. Also, I should mention how you get to the special stages. Like, in Sonic 1, you collect 50 rings. There's a big ring at the end of the stage. In Sonic 2, I guess to, like, sort of balance, like, to make it easier but also harder is, like, whenever you pass by the save point lamppost or whatever, like, if you have 50 rings, a little, like, banner, a sort of ring of stars will, like, appear over it. And if you jump into it, you get the special stage. Yeah, so that's sort of, like, the gist of, like, all of the gameplay features. So, let's just go stage by stage and just talk about every stage.
How many stages?
Let me see. Okay, so there are, let me count this out. Hang on, this is, I'm not looking at the right thing.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I thought maybe.
Hang on. Here we go. Actually, I have to count this out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I think there are 11.
Yeah, I think there's 11.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So let's start with the Emerald Tail Zone, the first stage of the game. So, Emerald Hill, it's basically Green Hill again, but more. The colors are more vibrant, the music whips, goes harder. But yeah, that's the gist of it. It's Emerald Hill, but more. One of the new
animes. Yeah, it's like the yearbook photo of like Green Hill Zone and the cooler Green Hill Zone.
Yeah. it's neat. Also, one of the enemies in this is Coconut, a monkey that throws bombs, who you may not recognize from Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Is he a robot like that?
Yeah. Coconuts is based on this enemy. I think that's all I really have to say about... Oh, right, the boss. Oh, also, from now on, like, all stages are just two acts instead of three. Just sort of like, just allowing for more zones, faster, feeling faster and whatnot. But the boss is the Eggman and a Driller robot. Like with before... All of the, like, bosses are Eggman and his Eggomatic with different accessories added to them. This one's a drill robot. It's really easy to fight. Goes down in 8 hits. So, the second stage is Chemical Plant Zone. And Chemical Plant Zone... First off, the music whips. The second off, it's like this sort of... industrial plant, featuring such things as tubes you can go through that like shoot you around the level. There's like some water stuff. There's these like what's the word I'm looking for? Like these almost like a Mobius strip-esque like slopes that sort of go up and down.
Ooh, Mobius strip, like the world being Mobius.
Yeah.
Oh!
I would not be surprised if that's why they called it Mobius. This level also features some water stuff, but specifically it's like polluted poison water. As we have discussed before, the Mega Mac, if you will.
This one doesn't have heads, yeah. Though, like the comic.
Yeah, it's not a...
this one doesn't fight back.
It's not a horrifying mutant monstrosity. There's just, like, one part that's, like, where it's easy to drown and it's kind of stressful. That's it. The stage of this... The boss of this stage is Eggman with, like, this sort of, like, goop attachment that just, like, sucks up goop from the level and just shoots it around. Also, this one's kind of hard because the ground of the stage is, like, it's sort of, like, rotating and you can easily fall into a pit and just lose.
Oh.
Yeah. Basically all I have to say about Chemical Plant Zone. So moving on ahead to Aquatic Ruin Zone. We've got some more ancient ruins. I want to step back a second and think. I feel like the Chemical Plant Zone is just producing pollution. Like, that's...
Yes.
It is the pollution factory.
I gotta go to the pollution factory. Put in my hours in the pollution factory.
Yeah.
It's like, better than the racism factory. Or is it? Who knows?
Yeah. I feel like pollution is... Pollution is, by its very nature, racist.
True!
by its very existence, I feel like it hates. I feel like it hates minorities.
Yeah, you got me. And it's also not actually. I was like, yeah, it's better in the current time when this game was made, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Shit,
it was bad then, and it has not improved at all.
Yay!
Yay! I love progress.
I love progress. Our world is just gonna look like the Sonic world. It's fine.
Yeah.
Can we at least get a cool blue hedgehog here soon?
He's just a mutant. He's just mutated by the fucking chemical wave.
As long as we get a cool blue hedgehog soon, I'm tired of this.
I better be able to become my persona by 2030 or I will shit.
I will lose my goddamn mind.
Just shit.
So the third stage is Aquatic Ruin Zone.
More water, I
assume. It's more ruins. One of the things is like there's like these traps set up where it looks like this sort of bit of the background, but when you pass by it, it lights up and shoots an arrow at you. This is another like underwater focus section. There's like the above area that's easier to traverse and has no water, and the lower section that's easier to fall into and has plenty of water. There's also like grounder robots. The music in this one kind of, yeah. Music in this one is like cool and weird and chill, and I like it. All of the music in this game is very good, by the way. Yeah, I'm gonna like be piping it in like whenever I start talking about a stage. The boss in this one is like, there's these two like totem poles set up with like owls on them, and Eggman is just hitting them with a hammer so that they like go down and shoot arrows at you.
Why?
The like whole gimmick is like he's too high to reach normally, so you've got to like jump on the totem poles to jump on him.
Hmm.
Weird choice to do a totem pole.
Yeah. Not great.
It was also just, like, because it's not, I don't think of robot either. Like, even just, like, on its face is weird.
Our next stage is Casino Night Zone. It's a big casino that Sonic can go around in. Casino Night Zone is, like, a bit different because there aren't a lot of enemies in it. It's mostly just, like, pure platforming. And, like, a big attraction at this, like, stage is you've got, like, these pinball flippers and stuff. And every so often there's, like, this big pinball machine that if you jump in the middle you can, like, maybe score some points. It's sort of, like, a slot thing. If you get, like, Sonic or Tails, you get rings. If you get Robotnik, you lose rings. It can be easy to get caught up in. It's neat. It's also a very...
Yeah, I think this is, like... I was gonna say, this is, like, my favorite level of them all. I think I like the music for this one the most.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's also the outro for every episode that I can't, like... use a unique soundtrack outro for. Like, anything that it doesn't have audio in it, I just use this.
Casino Wep.
I'm sure that Siva Gunner is on that right now.
I will be looking out for it.
The boss of this stage is, like, building off of the whole pinball thing. It's a pinball boss. There's, like, one of the pinball stage things, and you gotta, like, jump on the flippers to, excuse me, send yourself flying up to hit Eggman. It's neat. This sort of, like, design is iterated upon several times, including in its, given its own sort of game called Sonic Spinball.
I feel like every big video game property has pinball. I don't know if that's actually true, but like.
Yeah. Yeah, like, Sonic's.
It's most likely true.
It's good. Sonic Spinball is not. Sonic Spinball is questionable in how good it is, but some people like it. Enough to, like, dedicate themselves to speedrunning it, at least.
Fuck yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean it's good. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a good game.
That's extremely true.
I have fond memories of, like, the Ruby and Sapphire Pokemon pinball.
Our next stage is Hilltop Zone. It's a big mountain area with, like, pine trees and cool blue rocks.
Sonic says...
And also lava.
Sonic says no hilltop removal.
A notable asset in this are, like, there are these sort of, like, sort of lifts. What's the word I'm looking for? Like, cable cars that just sort of descend and at the end just fall down. There's also a lot of lava. There's this section, I think, where, like, the lava starts rising and you have to outrun it. Oh yeah, there's like teeter-totters from like Starlight Zone from the first game. That's, honestly, this, I think Hilltop is honestly one of the more easy to forget zone. Cause like, you always remember the first, like, Emerald Hill, first level, you get into it, it's fun. Chemical Plant, you got those cool tubes. Great aesthetic. Casino Night, I guess you could also forget the third stage, but Casino Night is like the fun, unconventional stage with gambling and cool aesthetic. Hilltop is just like less visually impressive, I think. So it's easy to forget.
Yeah. I like looked away from the game for a few seconds, and when I looked back, it was in Hilltop Zone, and I just thought I was back in Emerald Hill Zone.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, did I restart the video or did the game loop? And I was like, no, this is a new stage. And I was like, don't lie to me.
Yeah. Honestly, the most memorable thing of this is like the rising lava section, which will also be iterated upon in the next game. The boss of this one is Eggman's in like this lava submarine that's like coming out of the lava to shoot fireballs at you. You can only hit him when he's like outside. It's neat. I keep describing things as neat. I just think Sonic the Hedgehog as a franchise is neat.
You just think it's neat.
Marge Simpson holding up the potato, but it's Sonic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think it's neat.
Just, hey, it's
that
neat.
Is why you're doing this podcast.
Yeah. But next stage, the next stage I kind of love. It's a Mystic Cave Zone. It's like these underground caves full of like gemstones and vines. And like you can jump on the vines to pull open lifts or like get pulled up to another section. And the music in it fucking slaps. I think this is like the best one in the game. Unfortunately, the playthrough spends a lot of time. The playthrough we're using for reference spends a lot of time as Supersonic. So that means less time getting to hear the very good Mystic Cave Zone theme.
Bummer.
There's also, like, these, like, glowing fireflies that are, like, that like temporarily turn invincible. That it's a fun stage. It's a personal favorite of mine. The next stage, or the boss of the stage, is Dr. Robotnik in a different kind of drill. This one is like going up and down throughout the stage, like it drills into like the ceiling. It's much harder than the first drill robot, I'll say. Then we get to the next stage, and I think this stage and the next stage are kind of a low point for the game, but we get into Oil Ocean Zone. The music is alright, it's not as good, I think, but it's this giant oil rig and just in an ocean of oil. It's
very orange.
Dr. Robotnik loves oil.
I like the idea of Robotnik, like, going into the ocean, drilling up oil, and then instead of using it for anything, he just, like, pumps it directly back into the ocean. Like, he just sprays it right back into the ocean for no discernible reason.
He, like, doesn't even need it for his robots for some reason.
No, not at all. Like, his robots run off of life force of the animals in them. He just likes to pump this back into the ocean.
He just loves pollution.
I need to commission art of Dr. Robotnik in a t-shirt that says, I heart oil.
And another one that says, I heart hole. Thank you.
I do love I heart hole so much.
It's good!
It's such a good shirt. I fucking love that bit in Doro Hetero. some things in, like, Oil Ocean Zone, like, there's, like, these oil slick slopes that you slide down and you slide down them. There's these weird, like, I don't know how to describe them, almost like vases that, like, shoot you around like Donkey Kong barrels.
They look like hot air.
You know, yeah, I guess, yeah. And there's definitely a lot of fire. I think you can actually... I feel like setting the oil ocean on fire is a thing that happens in this game, but I honestly don't remember.
It happens in the comic.
Yeah, it does. I feel like it has to happen at some point, because there are enemies that shoot fire. The boss for this one is like, how do I describe it? It's like this weird snake robot mech that like on one end is Dr. Robotnik in an oil-based submarine, and on the other end is like this big snake attachment that shoots a laser at you. This is where the setting on fire thing happens, because, like, it shoots the ground and the ground sets on fire. And then we get into a stage that I think is kind of aesthetically cool and the music slaps, but I think is objectively the worst stage in the game.
Oh, that's a bummer.
We're talking about Metropolis Zone. It's these three acts, as opposed to the two acts, of big sprawling levels full of, like, really annoying enemies. Like, there's these star guys who shoot, like, five-pointed stars at you, and it can get really annoying if you get too close to them. There's slicers. Yeah. They do look like Staryus. There are these slicer robots that send, like, this huge arc of, like, I guess, how would I describe it? I guess just, like, mantis arm slicer things that are really hard to dodge. There's a crab that's, while the least difficult of them, is, like, very annoying to, like, hit right. It's got, like, a big crab claw. And you get hurt if you touch the crab claw. Yeah, time for crab. Let's see. As far as, like, level assets go, there's these big corkscrews you run on to, like, either go up or down. Like, you go right, you go up. You go left, you go down. There's these, I don't know what to describe them as. They're like cylindrical baskets that when you run on them, you like go, you sort of run 360 degrees, around them. That part's kind of cool. There's a lot of switch pulling you have to do. And, like I said, the absolute worst part of this is that it's three acts and feels way too long compared to every other part of the game, which generally goes by pretty quickly.
Yeah, it just kind of dragged on.
Why is it three acts when it's not even, like, the last
one? Yeah, I don't know. At least the boss is... Yeah?
Did they really...
I thought it would be the last one.
Yeah. Like, in universe, it is kind of like setting up for, like, the final, I guess, act of the game. If, like, the first couple stages of the first act, midpoint's the second act, this is definitely, like, the third act. It's...
Of the game, like, yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, this one's, like, supposed to be, like, Dr. Eggman's huge base. His, like, main base that he operates out of.
Dr. Eggman's enormous base.
Yeah. And from there you go into, like, to Sky Chase Zone, which is, like, you and Tails are, like, riding a plane. And Tails is flying the plane while you, like, run around, like, on top of it, like, attacking enemies. Thankfully, like, moving left and right moves the plane left and right, so it's not like you can accidentally fall off. It's almost like a sort of... it's like if a shmup were a platform, I guess.
Yeah, but...
I mean...
Don't you, like, shoot in... because they're shmups?
I guess you are the bullets in this version.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess that's kind of true, yeah.
But yeah, it's basically a big auto-scroller, but a little less stressful because you don't have to worry about falling down pits. It's also got sort of like a nice chill theme. You can sort of like weave a narrative from here. Oh fuck, I forgot to mention the Metropolis Zone boss. It's Eggman surrounded by like these spears that turn into balloons. And when they turn into balloons, you can just bounce off them harmlessly, and it becomes easier to hit.
They look like him.
So it's probably the... Yeah, they do look like him, which is
egg
fun.
Egg orbs.
Yeah.
They're just laying egg...
But also, I did basically describe the gist of Sky Chase, so I don't need to reiterate myself on that.
Yeah, there's no, like, boss for the Sky Chase.
Yeah. Like, in story reasons, you can sort of weave a narrative of, like, you confront Eggman in Metropolis, then he runs off to the next stage, Wing Fortress, and you're sort of like pursuing him in Sky Chase.
Yeah.
The next stage, Wing Fortress Zone, I really love the theme. It feels almost like a sort of like military march. Like something they would play at like some sort of military parade or something. You're going through Eggman's big airship, and it's kind of stressful because it's really easy to fall down bottomless pits in this one because you're literally on an airship. There's also these, like, propellers that hurt you if you touch them. There's a lot of things that send you, like, floating around. There are these chicken robots called Clucks that, I don't think that's what they're called, but whatever, they look like Scratch from Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, That's the important part. like, there's also a little, like, cinematic bit where when you start the stage, like, you're flying on the state, you're flying on, like, the plane from before, the tornado, and it gets shot down by, like, lasers on the ship. So you have to, like, jump onto the stage proper. I think it might be one act. I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, it is just one act. And at the end, the boss at the end is, like, the boss at the end can be really hard if you're not supersonic, because, it's this big laser, you get trapped in, like, this laser room, like, on each end is a force field, and, like, Dr. Robotnik is, like, watching you at the end, like, sort of taunting you almost, and there's this big, like, laser, and you have to hit the laser panel, but it's too high up to just, like, normally hit, so you have to, like, jump on these platforms that have spikes on the bottom, and it's very easy to get hit in this. It's
but this person was supersonic the whole time, so it was really easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The person doing the playthrough was supersonic. It's not as bad with that. And at the end of the stage is another cinematic bit, another cutscene, if you will, where Dr. Robotnik is leaving in a space shuttle, so Sonic, with the help of Tails, like, grabs onto the side of it and flies into orbit for the final stage of the game, the Death Egg Zone.
Sonic goes into space to make sure the one place not corrupted by capitalism stays that way.
Yeah. He's doing everything in his power to keep it from being corrupted by capitalism. It's basically just one room and two boss fights, but, like, a thing about it is, like, it has this really neat theme that sounds like this weird, almost, like, weird, I would describe it as evil clown music.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I mean, what is Eggman if not an evil clown?
You know,
he doesn't have enough really makeup, is. But
he has the clown aesthetic.
He has the clown spirit,
and, like, especially, like, his classic outfit, it looks very clowny. Dr. Eggman is an honorary clown. Then you get, like, these two bosses. The first is Silver Sonic. A robot Sonic that's remote controlled by Eggman.
He looks sick as hell.
He does. He turns into a ball and, like, attacks you. He, like, skates around. The main thing that makes him difficult, well, the first thing that makes this whole stage difficult, which is you have no rings. There are no rings anywhere in the stage. You have to do this without getting hit or you die. The second thing is the hitbox on Silver Sonic is very particular. You can't hit him directly on top because, like, he's got his spikes, and if you touch the spikes, you get hurt and you die. So you have to sort of, like, hit him on the forehead. But once you get the hang of that, it's not too much compared to the real final boss, the Death Egg Robot. Dr. Eggman gets in a Gundam.
Sonic 2 is my favorite mecha anime.
Yeah.
He's literally in a robot of himself.
Yes.
He's got a brand.
He's got a mask of his own.
He, like... His logo is literally just his own face.
That's true.
So, like, the thing that makes it particularly difficult is he's got these, like, big spike hands that are in the exact position where you would hit them if you, like, jumped normally. So you've got to hit him at, like, the right time and, like, they're retracted, or when after he lands from a big jump, he goes down and it's easier to hit him that way. It's It's fun. The final boss scene fucking slaps. The attacks are difficult. I swear there's like a sort of attack where he shoots bombs at you, but the guy playing the playthrough is very good at it and avoids even like triggering that. It's a doozy. Like, and also, just as a reminder, this game and Sonic 1 are a very old game. And it, from an era where auto-saving or even saving in general was not super common. You gotta beat this game in one go, and if you die to this dude, it's all over.
I'm not good enough at games to do that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what cheat codes are for. Because, like...
That's what save states are for.
Oh, and save states, extreme. And why modern games auto-save. But yeah, if you can beat them, you're treated to an ending cutscene where a chiptune remix of Sweet 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 by Dreams Come True plays while Tails flies up in his plane to rescue Sonic. Depending if you've got all the Chaos Emeralds, Sonic's super. If you didn't, he's just normal. Nothing too bad. The music is very sweet. You really feel like you've accomplished something after doing that.
Would you say it's sweet, sweet, sweet?
It is sweet, sweet, sweet. And that is the end of the game. Like, Sonic, like, flies into the screen to pose. You've beaten the video game and it plays the credits, which is like a medley of all the stage themes. This game fucking whips. It's widely considered to be one of the best games in the entire series. I would say of like the like 90s games, it's definitely the best. I don't think it's the best classic game. I think Mania is the best classic game. But it's definitely one of the strongest games in the series. It's really fun. And yeah, that's sort of it. I would say it's only really like the final boss is hard, but thankfully that's why in our modern era we can just stop playing a game and pick it back up later. Yeah, so, with that, that is the end of Sonic 2. I guess, well, yeah, let's just go over some questions. Alright, let's open with some Twitter questions. If you want to send in a question, you can message us at, you can either respond to an ask post on Twitter, at ShuffleSonic, or you can answer anytime at your leisure in the Discord for the Sonic Shuffle in our channel Ask Zone. So let's open up with our first question, our only Twitter question, at MattGCN, a.k.a. MattGameCube, a.k.a. Boss of Noise Space. That's not true. But the podcast overlord Matt GameCube asked,
yeah.
"Fave soundtrack cuts?"
I don't know them well enough, so.
I don't know the names of them. I've already said the casino theme is my favorite.
But that wasn't. Does he mean like cuts from the game?
Oh,
I guess like favorite. Maybe, like, favorite song from the soundtrack or favorite bit from the soundtrack. Like I said, my personal favorite is Mystic Cave Zone. Just every part of it sounds really good. I could listen to that song forever. Well, not forever, but you get it. It is one of the few songs where I could actually sit through a 30-minute extended version. Let's see. Our Twitter questions, or not Twitter questions, our Discord questions. Our first one comes in from James the Cat Girl, who asks, did anyone else used to think Tails was named Two Tails when they were younger?
Hmm.
Huh.
No, but I also didn't play Sonic until the Adventure 2 battle, so.
Yeah.
I feel like they, like, say the name in that game, because there's, like, voice acting and stuff, so.
Yeah. Any, like, misconceptions, like, you had with, like, characters before really getting into this?
Not that I can think of.
I think I always just, like, vaguely knew character names. I just didn't know anything about them.
Right.
Not from this game, I don't think. I'm sure there is from, like, stuff with more characters in them and...
Oh, I do remember, I always used to think, I think Rouge the Bat, I thought her name was just Bat.
Oh, I thought her name was...
I don't know why.
I thought her name was Rogue.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't know why, I just always thought like Rouge was like just a descriptor, and I thought her name was just Bat.
She's not even Rouge colored, is she?
Yeah, I don't know why I thought that.
I know someone who, like, was able to piece together, like, a potential pun, but I don't think it's... I don't know if it's true or not. The idea that Rouge the Bat you could piece together into the phrase Baton Rouge.
Oh. Yeah, no, that works.
Our next question comes from Drashura, who asks, which Badnik is the biggest pain in the butt, and why is it Slicer? Yeah, that's they're the hardest enemy. Their projectile is way too big. It goes in an arc that's way too hard to dodge. They're a huge pain in the ass.
I guess I'll go with that one then, because
yeah,
like I said, I'm not really good enough at. At this kind of game, at least, I'm not good enough at to really, like, test it myself. So I will take your word for it.
Our last question comes in from Sidmon, friend of the show Jasmine, who asks, if I'm not too late, do you prefer cooperative stuff where you are a full second player or a lesser helper?
Well, Gizmo prefers to be a lesser helper. I would probably want to do, like, full co-op if I was going to do it at all.
Yeah.
Just so, like, I don't know, it's more equal.
I prefer lesser helper just because I'm like, well, now there's not as much pressure on me. Also, I can just vibe more.
Yeah.
Because it depends on who I'm playing.
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like lesser helper is, like, optimal for, like, someone who isn't as good at the game or, like, someone who's, like, less experienced with games. I would describe it as the little brother co-op.
Yeah, that's me. I'm bad at video games.
That covers our questions. So let's roll for next week.
Hell yeah.
Oh my god. We got real lucky this time. Because we rolled a 2.
Oh shit.
Yeah, next week we're going to talk about some modern games. Specifically, we're going to talk about Sonic Adventure. And Sonic Story. Sonic Story is definitely one of the longer ones, so that might be divided into like two episodes. We might decide later. But yeah, we're going to be talking about Sonic Adventure 1, which, according to Sega, is a separate timeline from the classic games.
Huh.
Hell
yeah. It feels like one of those weird retroactive decisions, but I will acknowledge it for reasons that we will get into one day.
It does have different vibes.
Yeah. There is like this one specific part in Sonic Adventure 1 that makes it seem a little dicey. Like, there's several parts that, I don't know.
Oh.
And Craig left.
Bye, Craig.
Bye, you dumb bitch.
To be honest, I just...
Sorry, I'm mad at Craig.
I just used Craig to, like, sync up with Devin's audio.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. Yes. That was literally at the end, so it shouldn't be too hard to figure it out from there.
For sure.
Let's take it to the close. I'm Dan. You can find me at a lot of places, and you can find all those places at linktr.ee/Mike_Dawson with a zero. From there, you can find my Twitter. You can find the other podcasts I'm on, which include Pod of Greed, a Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. We're talking about GX. GX fucking whips. I love it.
Yeah, it does.
GX rules so hard.
Yeah.
I cannot wait till you guys get to season 3. I am shaking.
Yeah. Honestly, I've always, since day one, I was always excited about the day we got to GX.
I'm so excited for you all having to watch the sub for, like, the last season.
Yeah. I mean, there were the times where we could only watch the dub in Duel Monsters, but...
Yeah, it's revenge.
Yeah, it's equivalent exchange.
Yeah. You can listen to Stranger's Fiction, an actual play podcast I do with Cassidy and others on Audio Entropy. The latest episode that I'm in was actually one of the two recorded episodes of a cut campaign we did for Masks. The thing we do about like our campaigns is like, we record them in advance, so we can just release them consistently, and, like, if it gets canceled, like this one did, we can just, like, do... We don't have to, like, disappoint people, you know? You can... that's it. I was also recently on two separate podcasts.
Damn.
I think I forgot to mention the first one last time. I meant to mention it, but I didn't. I was on Let's Place, an Audio Entropy podcast that where the hosts scientifically and objectively rank every single video game ever made according to quality. I was on the Game of the Year 2020 episode, where I vouched for Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Nice.
And I don't know when it'll be going up. It could be months. It could be days. No idea. But the Sexy Mewtwo Review podcast.
Hell yeah!
Yeah.
Doesn't your podcast co-host do that?
Yeah, that's Keith. I cannot fucking wait.
That's rules.
Yeah.
That rules.
I actually recorded it earlier today.
Hell yeah!
I'll bring it up. I will bring it up again whenever that episode goes up. We talked about the second film in the Mewtwo trilogy, Mewtwo Returns. We talked about Mewtwo as a character. We talked about the movie. We talked about how sexy Mewtwo is. We talked about how Mewtwo is... How... We talked about how Mewtwo Returns is a Christian movie.
And that's why it's sexy.
Yeah, people are always saying Lucario is like the first sexy Pokemon, but people always want to be talking about like Lopunny and all them. No. Mewtwo is there first.
Yeah. Mewtwo is the one. The one of the 151. I am honestly of the opinion that every Pokemon generation has at least one horny Pokemon.
God damn it.
I'll have to like dig through. Like, Gen 2 is, like, kind of dicey, because, like, when I say horny Pokemon, I mean in, like, the sort of objective furbait sense. Because, like, I guess you could say, good things about Typhlosion, or how you love Lugia's potbelly.
No! But...
Well, there was always the sprite for Alligator there for a while, where the spines made it just look like he had butt cheeks for no reason. If you were like looking at him and during a Pokemon battle, the spines just like looked in a way where it's just like, oh, does Feraligatr have cake?
Yeah.
Damn, you're so right. It's so weird because like I feel like sometimes there's mons that are like, this is definitely like
this is targeted for,
like this is meant to be horny, like Lopunny.
Yeah.
But then you like but like furries love Lugia. They love Lugia. I'm like, is it the Yowie hands?
It's the Yowie hands.
It's gotta be, right? Yeah, okay. But I'm like, damn. Maybe I'm just...
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm built different.
Yeah. Yeah, so... And... Yeah, that's it for me. Oh, and also follow at @Xbox_holiday, where Usher celebrates holidays with Xbox. Next one is, oh yeah, actually, sorry, that came out wrong. Morg, where can we find you?
You can find me at HauntingTheMorg on Twitter. That's Haunting the M-O-R-G. You can also find me on my podcast, Departure Lounge, a plane theme Hunter x Hunter podcast. There's finally an episode recently that I put up. It was like the wrap up for season one. It's very funny listening back because we are actually in the middle of season two right now as far as the backlog. I'm trying to life got in the way, but it's very fun and we have a good time and there's more coming, so definitely watch it. Subscribe to it so that in case there is another big long hiatus again.
I can't wait to hear all the good Uvogin takes.
Yes.
For the season you're in now.
Because as Devin will tell you in, like, a minute, also does a different Hunter x Hunter podcast. And you can talk about it now.
Yeah, you can find that. It is called Gone Will Hunting. I think we are literally, like, two episodes from where you guys are at. So same season, same hat. But you can find that at Gone Will Hunting at Twitter, and you can find me at Twitter at Groovin' Ghastly, and it's a fun time. We mostly just talk about whatever random things pop into our heads, like the Smash characters for all the characters in the season.
And you can find us at Shuffle Sonic on Twitter, and from there you can join our Discord, which is linked in the account. And as always, Sonic is real, he is strong, he is my friend.
He is the only blue live that matters.
The only one.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you.